You know, I was raised here in the valley, and when I started hunting about 1960 or so, there were still these old giant gray trunks standing in the woods.
Carl Absher is a semi-retired forester from the Catawba Valley. Those American chestnut trees he saw all those years ago had already died, but still stood, a testament to their durability. Around the turn of the last century, they were attacked by a fungus that arrived here from China. It killed the trees, but it didn't wipe out every last trace of them.
It's also one of the most resistant wood. One of the classical uses was the split rail fence. You see it all the national parks. Some of those rails have been out there since the national park was made.
And the American chestnut has another kind of resistance. If not to the blight itself, it has a way to outsmart it, but only if humans intervene. Absher explains even though the blight kills the tree above ground, its root remains alive underground, and a new tree grows from it.
What we have here are nuts that came from some of those survivors that managed to live long enough and have flowers and produce nuts again. The thing is, most of them die before they get to be knee-high.
At first, this tree nursery at the Catawba Sustainability Center looks like rows of foot-high plastic or metal tubes. Hybrid seedlings from native and Chinese chestnut trees were planted about a month ago, along with a control group.
The seedlings, you can see that one right there sticking up above. Fresh new leaves. Isn't that pretty?
Sort of like reddish color?
Yes, and they will be all 6 or 8 inches long and bright, deep green when they mature.
And then in the next round, the keepers will be crossbred again with that Chinese chestnut, which is resistant to the Asian blight.
It will be these trees' grandchildren that head back to the forest.
And though it was an Asian blight that took out the American chestnut, a tree that's its Chinese cousin is key to its return.
Southeast China and Southeast United States are awful similar in soil, climate, and vegetation. And, you know, that's one of China's problems, too, is invasive plants. Global economy goes both ways.
Human intervention in the form of travel brought the fungus here, but the young American chestnut tree sprouts, fated to die from it, could never recover without, well, more human intervention. It's a painstaking process to gather the pollen and nuts from the young American chestnut trees for crossbreeding and to keep those young seedlings safe from predators.
Everything that walks, crawls, or flies in the woods, if it doesn't eat the nuts, it eats the trees, and most things eat both.
And chestnuts were also important to people.
It was one of the big export crops for the Appalachia. They were shipped out by the train load going to Philadelphia, New York, Washington. Around the turn of the century, that's the nuts that were roasting on the open fire.
But before we might again expect that kind of bounty, there'll be a lot more work from people like Absher and countless other volunteers. This project takes science and sweat and a little something else.
I came up and gave them a pet talk before I came down to meet you.
Did you really? What'd you say?
I said, grow! Look here. You know, we've been waiting here hundreds of years. Here you go. Now you got to put your best out there and stick those little leaves up there and spread them out and gather this sunshine and go for it.
Carl Absher has to leave the seedling nursery now to get to his part-time job driving the school bus, another version of helping the next generation. But he'll be back here soon.
Hopefully, grandchildren will appreciate it. That's the goal. I'll never see the big chestnut trees. Hopefully they will.
I'm Robbie Harris.